Still coming to you from the entirely empty employee break room of the quiet and quarantined Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor, locked-down American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
I'm Theodore Theater, calling in from beautiful Los Angeles, California.
I'm at the projections. I'm happy to be here.
Enunciate one more time.
One more time. I'm at the projections.
Enunciate the L.
I'm at the
projections.
I'm at the projections. I'm happy to be here.
When you cleared your throat, you sounded more clear than when you were talking.
I'm at the projections. I'm happy to be here.
Do it as you're clearing your throat.
I'm at the projections. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, Poppy the Popcorn, thank you for just milking your line.
Thanks.
It was an actual compliment.
You're adorable.
Shut up!
Okay.
Well, we've got a big episode lined up. Here we are, 2021. We've got some new movies coming out. We got The Little Things, starring Denzel Washington and Rami Malek. We're going to be reviewing that. We're also going to be reviewing a film called Palmer with Justin Timberlake. That just came out as well on Apple TV Plus. And The Dig, which came out on Netflix. Carey Mulligan, World War II, kind of drama there. Ralph Fiennes. All very exciting. Now, I personally didn't get around to watching any of these films because I'm kind of working on my own thing, but I'd be happy to join in the conversation. How about you?
It's a movie podcast that's inherent on you actually watching the films and talking.
I didn't know we were going to do one this week. I've been working on the Poppy Awards.
Peter!
What? You guys told me to make a bunch of paper mache Poppy Awards, so that's what I did. I've made 40 of them.
You can't watch a movie while you're doing that?
Look at these.
Okay.
Does it look like I could make this and watch a movie at the same time? No, you're wrecking!
Yes, it does.
Well, now it does, because tore it apart.
I didn't tear it apart, I just grabbed it aggressively.
Yeah, which...
You don't think people are going to do when they pull it out of the box? No, the thing is fragile.
Yeah, they're going to go, oh, this is really nice. They're not going to manhandle it like you.
Well, I handle
like a man. What do you... Stop! Hey! Well, I've got 39 more, so...
This is four.
What?
39?
Well, I had 40.
Did you make extras? We only had like 20-something awards.
What? I thought there were 40.
I was going to say, this doesn't even have a name on it. It's just...
Well, I haven't written it yet.
But it's going to break apart in your hands the moment you hold it.
No. Stop!
It's a goose.
Do it more! Do it!
I can't give that.
I'm being cruel!
You're only supposed to send them out to the winners, right?
Yeah, I thought there were 40 winners.
Well, I'm upset because you were supposed to watch the new movies.
No. There was only 20-something winners.
Well, I guess I made a few for insurance on the definite probability
that
of Alex destroying them.
Well, I wasn't going to destroy them. I've just banned. It's destroyed. But still.
Yeah, it's destroyed. Okay.
So.
I didn't watch anything.
That's why I'm upset.
Did you?
Yes.
What'd you watch?
I watched all of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You did?
I wasn't awake for it.
Okay, so you didn't watch them. You had them playing.
I paid for them, I played them, and then I went to bed.
It's a waste of money.
I hoped that I would, absorb them when I was
sleeping.
Doesn't
work that way.
It does not.
It doesn't work that way.
Maybe they enhanced my dreams because I heard them a little bit, but I was wearing earplugs, and I also don't dream.
Okay, well, maybe in the perfect world...
This is not good.
...where you can plug in the TV into your brain, you can close your eyes and sleep, but instead of dreaming, you just watch that movie. Wouldn't
Whatever,
that be sick?
The Matrix doesn't exist yet.
Does it?
No. And until then, Radio Hour, dudes. This is Radio Hour time.
Ow! Stop ruining more Poppy! Hey!
Yeah.
All right.
Grab one out of the box there. What's the first one on the top?
Poppy, what did we do last time? When we were gone and you had to do things because we weren't there.
It was one of them. I don't know. It's really painful.
What was the year?
1958.
You know, Poppy. Poppy, look at me.
We're not ready. Just what's the first one on
we
the pile?
We don't have to. I can just stop recording. We can cut. We'll cut this out. We'll cut this part
That's
out.
That's not how it works.
We'll cut. No, we'll cut this part
we'll
out.
We'll save it because you put the intro and then
we'll cut all this out. Okay, good. Because I got to pass some gas real quick.
Oh, my.
Silent but deadly.
Oh, God, I don't even have a nose and I can taste it.
Put on the 1953 summer episode. It's just the middle of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I still don't know how to
go
do it.
Go put your records on.
Tell me your favorite song.
Or radio about movies and
then
stuff.
Then I will let your hair down.
Nice.
Thank you. All right, let's... All right, I got it. Here, put it on the thing.
Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah.
All right.
How do you do it? Are we ready? Do we need a bathroom break or anything?
No. We just need to be hipster about this.
How do you?
I'm just gonna snifter. I'll talk to you guys later. I'm not gonna listen to this thing.
Oh, Theo.
Do you think I really I cleared my schedule so I could sit and listen to a record over the phone?
No, you didn't even watch the movies.
Yeah.
This is on you, man.
Look, I had the trailers.
What am I looking at?
Oh my god! Don't tell me you would look. You can't get the information of a movie just from the trailer, and I stand by that.
Everyone stands by that.
Going to give a response to the trailers live. That was
Okay, that's not a movie review. That's a trailer reaction. Review
made from trailer companies.
Are you farting? Get the mic out of your butt.
That is not an adult response.
Whatever.
It was a butt response.
Wow, this is... Peter,
where's my scarf?
Oh, it's right here.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you know what I saw? Absolutely nothing. My whole life flashed before my eyes.
That's how you know you're a hipster.
I gotta get out more.
That's how you know you're a hipster.
All right, play.
There's nothing out there for you.
Oh, God.
It hurt.
Play the recording, man! Come on! Cut this part out!
Coming to you from the Theater Brothers Movie House on the hoppin', boppin' main streets of an up-and-coming American city. It's the Real Butter Radio Hour. I'm your host with the most, Hubert Theater.
And I'm that guy!
Theater.
And this is Stanius Theater, calling in from overseas. Got good news for you, boys. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this morning, it being Monday, July 27th, 1953, the Reds, they signed the armistice.
No kidding.
Yeah, the war's over. Truce in Korea.
Wow. Wait, does that mean you're coming home?
Oh. It means I'm coming home, boys.
Oh, dear God, no. I mean, yay!
The first plane out of here.
Right.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sick of this commissary. I've been stuck in here for months.
Well, you're coming at a very odd time. We got a construction crew coming later, so things may be different.
Yeah.
Bro, what are you constructing?
Oh, apparently they got some big thing, Cinerama or something. They're installing it into the theater, and
wide screen or something.
It's a whole big thing. It's a lot of construction crews going on. It may not be the same looking place. Just letting you know, you may be coming in. The whole new deal.
How's business there at the theater?
Well, business is booming ever since we hopped on that Peter Pan train.
It's been doing pretty good. I just like the circus thing, which Hubert was the biggest fan of.
We're not going to talk about that.
All right. Well, I decided to take the theater and go theme again, and
very good. I like that.
We dressed everybody up as characters from the movie. We dressed the theater up to look like Never Never Land, and we got a Captain Hook guy going around. It is getting old.
Lots of costumes.
Getting old.
We have not watched
it. Yeah, that movie came out in February.
Yes, you know what I mean. People still enjoy it. People are still going. But I think the vibe is getting odd. Because, I mean, everyone in the neighborhood's come to us enough that they understand we're not really getting newish customers for this particular movie. Everyone's kind of wondering when the costumes are going to go.
So you got playing the pirate there, like the Captain Hook character.
Janitor.
Yeah.
The janitor.
Yeah, he's got a big old stash, a long face.
He was the only one suited for the part.
Willing to cut off his hand.
He cut off his hand.
Jeffrey.
Yes.
He cut off his hand.
Yeah, Jeffrey cut off his hand. It was his idea.
Was it during work hours?
No, it was off hours.
So he cut his hand off.
Yeah, willingly.
For this.
Yeah.
He knows this isn't going to be permanent, correct?
The cutting of the hand, that is very permanent. It's very permanent. It's gone. He stuffed it and put it on his mount in an A-OK position.
That's going to rot away.
Probably. I mean, he used formaldehyde.
Oh, okay.
It tastes great, by the way. Drink to that.
No,
clink.
No.
Clink.
No, don't drink it.
Clink.
Stop. Well, folks, those of you who have stayed in the last couple minutes on this station, we will be talking about a few movies. One of them will be... Are you drinking the formaldehyde?
No, I'm drinking something with formaldehyde in it. Go!
We'll be talking about... Ow. Well, don't hit me again.
I will not.
We'll be talking...
Come on!
Stop. We'll be... Stick to the script!
I'm sorry, I missed...
You miss who?
Yeah, so we're doing our mid-year review of our favorites. Is that correct?
Correct.
Still grieving over Lucy.
We know. Just power through
it. Still grieving over Lucy.
She was a licorice.
She was a lovely licorice.
And she got...
She saved us all.
She got abducted by a bird.
She saved us all.
Did she?
I mean, he was a creepy guy.
He would have left.
I mean, the door was locked and the guy was not able to get back in the building.
So.
But he's dead because of her.
All right, Thad, what are the movies we're going to talk about? Oh, my God.
All right, we got, Peter Pan. We can talk about Peter Pan if you want. Yep, we can do that.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll touch on the right and straight on till morning. Delightful Disney fantasy. What else we got? We got a little noir film, a little crime film called Pick Up on South Street, directed by Samuel Fuller.
Brief.
And we got Billy Wilder's Stalag 17.
Yeah, can't go wrong with Billy Wilder. Always good.
No, that was a big hit over here with the boys. Really enjoyed that. William Holden.
What, you okay over there? You smoking still?
Yeah, but...
Of course he's smoking still.
All right.
I cut it back to a pack a day, though.
That's good.
Oh, my.
It's good. From his three packs earlier, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
You sound worse that you've...
Worse for wear. You know, he means worse for wear. He's coming back, so.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'll be back. I'll be back. Yeah, very exciting. And I'm excited to come home. I got some big plans for the place.
See? Told you.
Yeah.
Well,
big plans.
Just run them by me first, since, you know, the theater's under my name, technically, even though it's called the
military. That was just for legal reasons.
We made the theater.
You chose to go to, to the military. You chose to do that.
You can't just...
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I did make the choice. It was one of the two options that the judge gave me. It was either go to jail, join the military. So, you know, I chose to serve my country,
yeah,
and
some
I'm...
Some would say a real man would have been to go to Sing Sing.
Or Song Song.
That's not a prison.
Quiet. It's all over now. We can put that behind us, and,
What?
God, he's coming back. I can't believe this. Great news!
Well, folks, stay tuned after
so,
the...
What do you guys want to talk about first? You want to talk about Pick Up on South Street?
Well, literally, we have not talked about Peter Pan. We haven't done it yet, so we should probably do that as soon as possible.
Right after the commercial break.
And then we can ask these bums and take this stuff off.
Right, after the break.
That's what I said.
Played it for her, you play it for me.
All right. Camera. Act.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, fire.
Who are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Who are you?
I'm fine, too, but you can't come in unless you give the password.
This is impossible. I don't believe it.
You rat! You double-crosser, you Judas!
Don't be so gloomy. After all, it's not that awful.
You see, this is my life. It always will be. Just us, and the camera, and those wonderful people out there in the dark.
And we're back on the Real Butter Radio Hour.
Hooray!
Hello. So today we'll be talking about Disney's new feature film, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, it's the hot Disney movie at the moment.
That's right. It's based on the stage play by James Matthew Barry from 1904. Of course, the classic. We all remember this.
I remember it well.
I believe Mr. Disney actually saw a touring company in his hometown in 1913. And he never forgot that. Yeah, he began development on a feature film adaptation in the late 30s. Bought the screen rights in 1939 and was all set to go, but then the war got in the way. So he started final production in 1950.
Well,
yeah, and here we are. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Thank you for the synopsis.
And now it's a big hit. Big hit.
I mean, yeah, it's, everyone loves it. Peter Pan's great. Tink's great.
Good cartoon animated movie, you know.
Seems short for me.
How so?
It's only an hour and 19 minutes.
Well,
we do get more showings that way.
I was right about to say, you get more shows in. You get twice the amount.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be more.
What do you mean?
Well,
more movie.
Well, with an animated...
You get paid for your buck, I'll tell you that, you know?
That is true.
It's action-packed. You got lots of humor and songs and action.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's very colorful, very great. Kids fly.
Vibrant.
Vibrant's a good word.
The movie's got to be short for the children's attention spans.
I'd say it's a good continuation for what they've been doing ever since Snow White. You know, things are getting good. I like what they're doing, taking classic tales and making things out of them.
The previous picture, Alice in Wonderland, the girl who does the voice of Wendy is the same girl who did Alice. Beaumont.
Yeah, they sound like it.
And the voice of Peter Pan is Bobby Driscoll, who was recently in Treasure Island, 1950
a couple of years ago.
Nice. It's a good movie.
Adorable. Adorable. Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is they brought in a lot of actors to kind of use as animation reference. So they actually acted out a lot of these scenes, and that was filmed and photographed for the animators' benefit.
That tends to be Disney's bag, right? They tend to do that.
Quite extensive in that department.
Well, I can say it's good that it's only an hour and 16 minutes.
Ouch.
More show times, more people can see it during the day, so more people can come in.
Just money, you know?
Pretty much.
You're looking at it for the money angle.
Lots of costume ideas and marketing ideas for this movie. I gotta say, it was pretty lackluster to me. You know, the lack of smooth jazz, you know.
Come on, this is a movie about kids and flying. What? There's not gonna be no smooth jazz in this.
Well, you never know.
No, Disney will never ever make a movie revolved around jazz for kids.
You'll never know.
Oh, come on.
I thought this movie looked amazing. I think the animators of Disney are really at the top of their game right now. You got guys like Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson and Milt Kahl. Really just the best of the best. And
classics of the animating genre. These guys are giants. To not know their names would be ridiculous.
Never met them, but I know their names.
You're not supposed to have met them if you're not near them at all. You're just supposed to know who they are.
Well, you see, like, I have a... It's my lady friend, Theodora. She's in the Hollywood biz, and she's an actress.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you... Did you marry her yet? You put a ring on it?
Nah, well, we're engaged.
Ah, you did put a ring on it.
Yeah, but not the right ring. I'm going to wait till we get home, and maybe we can have the ceremony there in the theater.
Well, I got to say, when it comes to Peter Pan himself, I think he's a pretty bad guy.
But if anyone hasn't seen it yet, you should definitely swing on by to the Theater Brothers Movie House and see this epic tale.
Or fly on by.
It's a story of growing up, coming of age story for, what was her name?
Wendy.
For Wendy.
With a Y.
Windy?
No, Wendy with a Y.
Wendy with a Y?
Wendy with a Y.
Anyway, so Wendy is the adult of the household, besides the dog, who's actually taking care of the children. Besides the dog, it is Wendy. And she is taking care of her two younger brothers, and she tells them tales of Peter Pan, expanding the story and their imagination. And their parents are sort of not out of the picture, but just aloof to taking care of the actual children that they, you know, had. So instead of them taking care of the children, it's Wendy and the dog, the canine, that is taking care of them, giving them medicine, cleaning up after them, knows its ABCs, knows what order to put the ABCs in, okay? The little building blocks, you saw that at the beginning of the movie?
That's an amazing dog.
That is one of the smartest dogs I have ever seen in my life. And the parallels between the father and Captain Hook are fairly interesting. I noticed somewhat physically, you know, they both have a mustache, black hair. But it's also the adult figure that's trying to stop the imagination. And I'm talking about Hook and her father, who I forgot the name of, not important.
If I may, what this film carries on the theatrical tradition, the stage tradition of having Hook and Mr. Darling, Wendy's father, played by the same actor, which in this case is Hans Conried, who plays both parts.
Yeah, it's another parallel. I think movies like this, it's interesting to find these interesting parallels and theories, especially when it's revolving around childhood and imagination and children using their imagination to express their hatred for their father.
You know, that tells me that reminds me. Right? You know, that inspires me. I don't think we need this. This for the script.
Edgar,
this can go.
Edgar, what
this
is?
Can go.
Edgar, stop.
This can go.
Stop.
This can go. This can go.
Don't do it.
Edgar, yeah. He's not your father.
Don't. Stop.
I'm doing it.
Was that necessary, the last one?
Yes.
Really?
No.
All right. Well, you talk then. Since you don't know the script, you talk.
Well, all right. Well, Peter Pan is a very adventurous movie. It has a lot of interesting themes. It's a great stage play. By a guy who stole the imagination of little kids, whitewashed it, and turned it into a play. And it's been going on. They're probably going to continue to make things about this little freak jerk who gets mad at people when they don't play with him in his fantasy land. And, you know, kid dancing. I am not a fan of Peter Pan. I think he's very mean. and I do not like him, and I think he treated Wendy very disrespectfully.
He treated all the women in that movie very disrespectfully. Thad, did you have anything to say about this animation? Did you?
Yeah, I think it was beautiful character animation and delightful backgrounds. Apparently, the animators struggled with creating a sense of weightlessness for the flying characters, such as Peter.
So they threw their kids off a roof?
Pardon?
They threw their kids off a roof? That's what I would have done.
What?
Well, you, that's how you did it.
Yeah,
you take a
they may have done that.
Edgar, don't say those things.
All right. Confirm nor deny that the Disney Corporation may have taken part in such activities.
Not anymore.
This film was fairly macabre in its early stages, apparently. Back in the 40s, they were working. I saw some of the plans for the film. They had a lot of skulls and skeletons and very heavy shadowing, and they kind of toned that down. It's a bit friendlier now.
Yeah, I can see that being a little too scary for the kids.
They liked the mood. They added a few more songs, and I don't know. You got the Lost Boys.
Yeah, they like to add songs and stuff. It looks like it's a hit out here. Everyone's enjoying the characters, or they did before we didn't watch the costumes.
Speaking of that, do you want to let the?
Oh yeah, hold on a second. I gotta go give the new
the word
the new information to the new plan.
Hey, I want to see that. What was his name? The janitor. What was his name?
Hook. You guys playing Hook?
Yeah, Jerry. What was his name?
Jerry.
Yeah. I want Jerry in here. I want to talk about his
name. I don't want to talk to Jerry.
Well, I want him to know that we are not paying for any sort of insurance on his hand because that was his doing. And it was after hours. Stop scratching your gut.
All right, fine. Hold on a second.
Jerry, did you need me for something?
Yeah, why don't you sit down?
Hey, why did you... Oh, I gotta be careful with me out there. Oh.
You're now on air, on live, on the Real Butter Radio Hour. Oh, are you okay?
I am very nervous, and my hand really hurts.
Your hand or the lack of?
I cut off my hand.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about that.
For the hook.
Right. This is gonna be the last day, so if you had any other final thoughts.
Last day of what?
Of portraying Hook. So I wanted the the list. Yes. Yar.
So
I wanted the listeners to hear the last words.
But no, I'm Captain Hook.
You're Jerry, right? The janitor? Jerry the janitor?
No, I'm Captain Hook, you know?
No.
Arr.
That would be a gnar.
So I cut off...
That was you.
No. The movie was so big.
Right. Now it's not. I'm saying if you have any other last words to tell the audiences to see the movie before it's gone.
Come and see my... not to handle there.
Well, folks, you heard it here. The movie is so good you get immersed in it. And you become the characters.
Yeah, we're gonna need to take that costume off.
I know! I gotta go right now. I've got some planning to do.
Okay.
I'm not gonna give up so easily on...
Just bring your costume in.
I've got other...
Alright, stay tuned, folks. We'll be talking about the next movie. Thad, what's that next movie?
Dear God, that was excruciating. That
hey, what's up?
Pathetic.
Oh, I got myself a new drink. Oh, I did not want to talk to that guy.
Yeah, you just left.
Yep.
Thank you.
No, you are welcome.
Well, Thad, what's the next movie we'll be talking about?
I don't know. You want to talk about Pickup on South Street?
Absolutely. So stay tuned for that.
I will. Right here.
I was talking to the listener.
Yeah, sure.
Neverland. Six blocks of sinful Southside city streets. Neverland, a paradise of gin joints, pool halls, and jazz, ruled by Pete the Pan and his loyal Lost Boys. They'll die before they get old. Neverland. Where untamed orphans run wild without a care in the world. But if the Lost Boys don't like you, you'll get a flying lesson from the top of a 10-story tenement. Neverland, where those footloose Lost Boys rumble with their rivals, those righteous river rats, the Pike Street Pirates. Granger as Pete the Pan, the boy who wouldn't grow up, the prince of pickpockets, He thought he had all the angles figured, and then he met her. Nancy Olsen as Wendy, an uptown dame slumming on the South Side. Ida Lupino as Lily the Tiger. She's the clip-joint princess of Neverland who wants Pete all to herself. Thelma Ritter as Tink. She's a streetwise grifter who never misses a beat, and she's the closest thing Pete's ever had to a mother. William Talman as Johnny Hook. He's the ex-con captain of the Pike Street Pirates, who's hell-bent on Pete, the rascal who ratted him to the coppers. Ernest Borgnine as Smee, Johnny Hook's loyal lackey. He's quick with a song, but swifter with a switchblade. Wendell Corey as Croc Mulligan, the only cop tough enough to tangle with the Pike Street Pirates. Neverland, directed by Samuel Fuller, an RKO Radio Pictures production. Coming soon!
And we're back on the Real Butter Radio Hour.
You're
back! Thank you, Edgar.
You're welcome.
So it seems like you want to talk about a certain movie.
Oh, I'm a fan of the film noir, as you know.
As we know. Why don't you tell us about it?
We had ourselves a nice little film noir this summer called Pickup on South Street. Ta-da! No ta-da at the end. Just, I added the ta-da.
Yeah, no, yeah, we got it.
I added
it. I was going to say stick to the script, but you ripped it up.
I did.
So this is all
it
you,
man. It was too good for it to get in anyone else's hands.
Whoa.
And we are free thinkers, right?
Right.
We gotta bebop, scoodoobop, bebop.
All right, you skidop and I'll boobop.
All right, that was a bad idea. I already...
Boodop.
Already regret it.
Boodop.
Okay, that's...
Skidop.
Starting to sound like that crazy, bad music you listen to.
Jazz.
Everyone listens to jazz. I don't know what you listen to.
Jazz. The good
it's,
jazz.
It's not good. Guys, it's not good. It's very...
Well, to each their own.
Someone say you gotta find the notes between the notes in jazz.
Edgar!
This is the notes that you don't want to find.
Edgar?
Yes.
The movie.
Pickup on South Street.
South Street.
Made by Sam Fuller. Sam Fuller got on the train a few years ago with a particular movie. Got him a 7-picture deal at Paramount. He was happy.
That's right. Daryl Zanuck tempted him away from 20th Century Fox with that 7-picture deal.
He did. Sam Fuller took it. It was a good idea. Sam, I think he gets a lot out of this deal. I think they gave him a lot more room to grow as a filmmaker, make what he needed to make. He wasn't like, it takes forever for a film. He's more of a script guy and then just shoot it. Very, very Billy Wilder. Hey, we're gonna talk about that guy later. Anyway, so Sam Fuller makes this film, right? It's a dirty film noir. But it's not just a film noir, right? It's a war movie, Pickup on South Street, huh? It's about this grifter, right? He steals from people. It's a pickpocketing.
All right, say it, don't spray it.
So, okay. So he's with this dame on the subway, right? And he takes a wallet from her purse, but she's being watched by the coppers. And it turns out that she got some microfilm in her purse for the Reds, for the communists. You know, like Daniel Boy over there.
I do remember
like
Daniel the popcorn who
yeah,
died.
He did.
He died. He got crushed. Stuck on. Little popcorn.
I went to jail for him. Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't just say you're not him.
Yeah, they didn't believe me. For some reason, they didn't think a talking popcorn existed.
Well, you have. Did you give them your ID?
I gave them my ID. They thought it was a fake.
Why are we having this conversation now?
Well, yeah, the fact that you are concerned and care about this entire situation now makes me really mad because you didn't ask questions before. You were not concerned once.
I was busy.
You were not.
I was busy.
You were not. You were sitting in your room listening to terrible jazz.
It was good jazz.
Okay, well, at least you admit you were doing it. I stand firm on that. Anyway, the film, this guy, he realizes the film is something important, and then all these people are trying to get it from him. Some are just genuinely nice. Some are just, you know, like, can I just have the film? And he's like, no, I'm not gonna give you the film. It's like, he's all like holding it back and stuff. And
right, it's
really good. Really good film to watch. Seediness. There's one thing I'll say about Sam Fuller. He's got mood. He's got atmosphere down. It's just a mood to his films that I love. Just dig it. When he's on his little houseboat thing and little house by the dock. And she comes down to see him, and he's just chilling out downstairs. Doesn't punch her in the face this time. Good call. Yes, that's right. He punches
her
in the face by accident. Anyway, so this guy and this love interest, they're talking, and it's just, it's nice. You got the moon. You got the dialogue. He's threatening to hit her at times. It's great. Great.
What?
What? Yeah, yeah, the classic film noir, threat to women at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Richard Widmark is playing Skip McCoy.
Skip.
And Gene Peters is Candy.
God, Candy's Candy and Thelma Ritter are both fantastic in this movie. Thelma Ritter is so freaking good. She will get an Oscar nom, guarantee you. Very good performance. She's selling ties throughout the whole thing, giving out information for money. It's fantastic. She has this monologue where she sits down and talks about how she's just so tired. Oh, it's so good. It's heartbreaking. I gotta say, Sam Fuller certainly knows how to inject humanity and a lot of dimensions and depth to the female characters within the genre of film noir, which, in all honesty, really treats women pretty terribly. And you know what? Yeah, that's why I love it. Oh, ah, no. Come on. Nope. High five.
I'm not going to
high five. Nope. High five.
You had
high
me.
Five.
You had me in the first
all
time.
All right.
Ow. That was my knee.
Anyway, the movie itself, really great dialogue, really moves at an excellent pace. I cared way more about the side characters than I did the lead guy. The lead guy was kind of a whiny guy. I felt like it was super funny because he's like, this woman comes in, he thinks she's the messenger, he accidentally punches her in the face.
Oh, and then, how do you accidentally punch
someone? And then
someone?
She comes back again, and it's so obvious that she's like, I like you, you're cool, can we just get this over with so we can just like chat because we like each other? And he's like, whatever, and he just totally throws her away, and it's like, whatever. But then he thinks she's a communist, and I wouldn't date a communist either, but she so obviously isn't. I would also state that there's a lot of twists and turns in this. You know, some people you think aren't going to go. Some people get shot when you don't think they're going to get shot.
Are you implying that that's like real life?
No, it's not like real life.
Okay.
Anyway, so I shot this guy and got away with it the other day.
What?
Huh?
Yeah, there is definitely a sense of realism to the film, though. And the characters are drawn very, like, they're not sort of stereotypical movie characters. I think that's a reflection of Sam Fuller's history as a news reporter in New York City. He was a reporter on the crime beat when he was only 17 years old.
Dang, that is young.
That's it, huh?
He saw some stuff.
17. I remember those days.
Do you?
And then later on, of course, he was in the Second World War, experiences which he also reflected in his previous picture, The Steel Helmet.
Yes, that's what got him the 7-picture deal.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of colloquial dialogue, downtown dialogue in this film, and it never feels fake. It always feels genuine, you know?
Every character feels real. Every character feels like they are just waking up after the hardest day in their lives. It's one of the most New York movies I've ever seen just based off of their characters. Not the dialogue, not the setting, the things they say, how they say it, the vibe, just the vibe of this movie is just very real. And I think he, instead of necessarily capturing a real moment, I think he understands how to make things feel like you're living in their world. Like you've entered their world and it's really just a corner on the street in the city. But yes, I would absolutely agree. I feel like there's a melodrama to some of the film. There's a predictability to some of these aspects. You know, there's the hardened chief. There's a... It is technically a war movie, so there is a sort of action scenes and action beats you're expecting throughout the process. But yes, I would say this film, first and foremost, does not do what you think it's going to do with a scene. It's not lazy. Each scene has a different element to it that's excellent. But the characters are real. That's the thing. The characters feel like real people. The performances, the dialogue, the choices they make, no one's left without agency, which is very welcoming in a film where at this point, you know, people are starting to get tired of film noirs. It's a nice add to it.
I would echo your sentiment about Thelma Ritter, who I think is really a highlight in this film. She appeared early on as sort of a snitch, if you will. She gives information on the local cannons, which is street lingo for pickpockets. And I really enjoyed that first scene. And then I thought, okay, well, that's her done. And I was very pleasantly surprised to have her come back and develop that character more.
Well,
and you come to care about her. She plays it very well.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I'm not surprised you've been in career for so long, considering that Thelma Ritter is one of the most famous supporting actresses of our era.
Correct.
Yeah, she's got like several Oscar noms already.
It'd be very right.
She's very well known, boy. You should see more of her movies, bro.
Fantastic. Yeah, and you mentioned the action scenes as well. I was very surprised how those were shot. They're a lot of continuous shots with people, you know, like particularly I'm thinking of the subway fight, if you recall. The two guys are slugging it out in the subway. One guy gets knocked over a turnstile, another guy gets, and then he gets punched into the subway tracks themselves, and it's all one continuous shot. That was some heavy duty stunt work there. Very impressive.
It is a very good use of setting. You think he's going to throw him on the tracks and straight up murder a guy. Instead, the guy runs in the train and just cowers like a baby. And he just
pins him in a corner and just pounds his face for
beats
a while.
Beats him. What to a death, movie. Probably.
He's a red, you know. He's a commie.
He killed two women. He killed a woman and attempted to kill another one.
Sounds like he deserved it.
Yeah, he's scum of the earth.
He's not a nice guy in the movie, yeah. If there's one thing I do think is very interesting is the film just sort of says, commies, they're the new Nazis. And that's the thing that's come with war films lately that I'm not necessarily sure transfers well. I mean, we're in a Cold War and commies suck. But to say it straight up like commies are that bad, I don't know if it necessarily transfers as well.
Commies are bad. I don't think you need to compare it.
The wars are different. Like the war before, we'd get in trenches and we would shoot people. This war, we're lying more.
Right.
My final note would be that it definitely conveys New York City very well, right from that opening shot where the couple of the characters are crammed together on a subway car. It feels very claustrophobic. It's sort of a rush hour situation. Everyone's sort of pushing up against each other. And it felt very real to me from riding the subway myself.
I agree. I actually think that the opening sequence, which is actually just about 5 minutes of no talking while the guy picks a purse, and it's actually pretty great. And then all of a sudden, people start talking, and you're like, oh, this dialogue is fantastic. They're talking so fast. Skip himself is a very interesting performance. He looks like he is constantly trying to take a poop. It's great. He looks constipated at all times.
Richard Widmark.
Yeah, Richard looks impacted at all times.
He built his career on playing, well, you know, not so nice fellas, like in the classic Kiss of Death from 1947, where he was sort of a sociopath.
Oh, he's
giggling the whole time. He's a creep in that one.
Fantastic for the crime genre, that guy.
Yeah, he got kind of moved into heroic roles, and then Sam Fuller tempted him back for this film.
That's a
darker side of life.
He's certainly, he's an anti-hero in this, in the sense that he's a pickpocket, but he's also trying to stop the communists. But again, I don't think he's the most interesting character in this movie. I think it's Candy and Thelma Ritter. They are far more interesting, in my opinion. Candy has way more agency throughout this film. None of this stuff would happen the way it did if Candy didn't constantly try and keep everyone from killing each other. That's true.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
Skip spends a lot of time sitting at home drinking beer in his hammock.
It's really interesting to me, considering how much I love this film, how much we love Stalag 17. We're going to talk about that later. You guys, you know, we're getting this package of the new CineScope. Things are going to get different. I don't think we're going to get movies. I don't think we get movies like this anymore.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
I think we'll still get film like this, but it'll be amongst new things.
I was going to say one more thing about the film that I really love.
Yeah, who is it? Oh. It's you.
One more question I have about the job.
We're in the middle of the radio hour.
I just wanted to inform you that I appreciate everything you done for me. And I'm very happy for the opportunity to mutiny!
What?
I've got all the other pirates! We're mutinied! No costume change for us! This theater is ours!
Are you serious, sir?
I'm dead serious!
It's just some costumes.
Scurvy? Something like that. My health isn't great. In fact, most of these men are still not in great health. Anyway, I'm gonna do it! I'm gonna go on it! And we're gonna take these swords!
These actual swords and take it down!
Actual swords? Edgar, you gave him actual swords?
Yeah, I gave him actual swords. Yeah,
why not just use props?
Well, you know, it makes it more real, and that's why—
Edgar!
Don't do these things! Hold, all right.
You stay here, and you're not going nowhere! I'm locking you in your studio! No, you better not stop us. The theater is ours. The real butter is ours.
Edgar, don't just let him go. You let him walk out.
What?
You let him walk out.
I was reading this funny comic. Sorry.
What was it?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at it.
Did he say mutiny though?
Yeah. He did.
Hey, you. Are pirates taking over the theater?
No, they're not real pirates.
They're not real pirates. No.
Yes.
Yeah, they are taking over, though.
They've got George.
People are running.
No, if you couldn't hear in the calming tone of my voice, I am terrified.
They are chasing the customers out, and they are eating the food. They're swapping the poop deck with poop. Just deck. They're swapping the poop deck with deck.
We had a poop deck.
Yep. Well, that's what they're called. They put, see that sign right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they call it poop deck now. Oh. All of this has happened incredibly fast. The inside of the theater looks like a ship.
What do we do?
Well, it's because we made it to look like a ship because of the Peter Pan thing.
No, what do we do?
I guess we're here until they let us out.
Is there an air vent?
No. I did sort of reinforce this entire studio based off the last circus thing that happened.
Oh, right.
So they're not getting in. And I've made us some bunks. I made us a latrine. Okay. I got us a table.
Whoa, how long do you think we're going to be in here?
I got us pajamas with stripes on them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's some chess. I got us a chess game. We can play that.
How long do you think we're going to be in here?
I don't know. It depends on how long these guys let us out. I mean, it's their call, not mine. Anyway, I get pick up on South Street. I'm gonna give that butters out of butter.
That's a good rating.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, folks, come on down. I guess you can't because we're overrun by pirate employees
everywhere.
Well, if you want to, though, yeah, I don't know how we're gonna fix it. And we're back on the Real Butter Radio Hour. I'm your host, Hubert Theater. And today, folks, we have a very special song prepared for you with our two very loyal employees. Here we have Mark.
Hello, I'm Mark. I'm here to play harmonica for the song. I've been playing it out in the lobby. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
It's all right, you just didn't have to do it in my face.
I'm nervous.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
That's why I don't do the talking.
And here we have Sam.
Hello.
Thank you, Sam. Is that it?
Yeah, Sam don't do a lot. He just sings. He writes the lyrics.
This guy's going to sing?
Yeah, he sings.
Yeah.
All right, just keep it.
All right.
Keep it.
Folks,
save it.
Prepare yourselves for a very pleasant shanty.
This is a shanty.
You need an usher man, not a shanty man. Shore up these floors like a deck upon the shores.
Yar.
Me clothes are soaked. I play it off as a joke. I reek of fish kinda broke. I ain't the luckiest bloke. Yar. I be scheduled 9 to 5 and also 5 to 9. It's pretty much 12 hours, but I get a break in between. Yarr. Work into me bones. I feel so alone. Can't tell if it's night or day.
Are you okay?
Narr. Drowning day by day in me tears of minimum wage. Me existence is a cage.
You okay? Are you sure you're okay?
No! 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 No!
Oh yeah, I'm gonna do it.
No!
Yeah. No! Do it.
No!
Drivers do it all the time.
No!
Group that rhyme all around.
No!
I'm not doing it fast as I got nervous and I'm not gonna get a pass.
No!
What the devil was that?
Sea shanty.
That was not a sea shanty.
Well,
what are you?
He wrote it.
I wrote a bit of it. What I
Hunter off the last part. The last part was improvised.
I did improvise that, and it was from the heart.
That was no sea shanty.
I tried.
You tried?
He tried.
I tried. Oh, I failed you. I'm sorry.
I mean, he failed you, and he's sorry.
Ugh, you movie theater pirate people. You know what? That's what I'm naming this song. You movie theater pirate people.
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming. 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
What?
Feels like we've been locked in here for years.
We're back on the Real Butter Radio Hour.
I'm wasted away.
It's been 2 or 3 minutes.
It feels like forever.
I'm getting sick of the sight of your faces.
Thad, you're over the phone. You're not.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of you, though. You're hideous.
Ouch.
That hurt.
Well, I've also been in here long enough that I don't understand and don't remember what my face looks like.
There's a mirror right
there.
You're
not missing nothing.
Right there.
Okay.
Why aren't you looking?
Because I don't deserve it. I'm a prisoner in my own studio. I did this.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah.
You did all of this.
I reinforced all of this.
It was your call.
Yeah, but we're not dead by swords, which is nice.
I never thought I'd agree with
you. You gonna take the top bunk again tonight?
At least we're not.
I'm gonna take the top bunk.
We have the rest of the radio hour to do, and we have to figure out how to get out of here.
Nothing but time now.
Correct.
Can you start digging a tunnel or something?
Can we start talking about Stalag 17?
Oh, yeah, we can.
Okay, well, so you're referring to Billy Wilder's new picture. It just came out a couple weeks ago.
Yes, the very, very, very good one.
Very, very good.
Yes. I mean, he's following up kind of a bomb he had back in 52, Ace in the Hole. Ace in the Hole did not fare too well. I thought it was an excellent picture. It's all about the newspaper industry and whatnot, but...
Yeah, it's pretty gritty. That film don't mess around, and that's probably why it didn't do so well.
Yeah, but before that, of course, he had Sunset Boulevard back in 51. We talked about that. That was an excellent picture.
Everyone loved it. It was about Hollywood.
Yeah, and he's bringing back William Holden, who was the star of that picture, and he's here in Stalag 17 again. It took a bit of convincing, apparently, to get him into the picture, because he didn't want to play such an anti-hero type character.
Anti-hero
seemed to be the theme of the year.
He's a selfish... That guy's not a nice dude.
Nah. So this is basically the story of a group of prisoners of war during the Second World War, and over the Christmas holidays, 1944, the fellas in Barracks 4, they've been trying to tunnel their way out. They're trying to figure out escape plans. They realize pretty quick that they got a mole in there. They got a guy who's ratting them out to the Germans. They can't figure out who it is. And basically, the film, you get to know the characters, including the fellow that William Holden plays, who's called Sefton. And they don't like him, because he kind of makes, he trades with the guards, you know, he makes little deals. He's got a little collection of cigars and cigarettes and other important items in this scenario. And they think that he's the mole. I'm not going to give away the ending, but basically, he takes it on himself to figure things out so that they don't, you know, kill him.
That makes sense. I mean,
I mean, they just plain don't kill him. They could kill him, but they don't. They beat him mercilessly, and they could have killed him that night, but they didn't.
Well, you don't want to spoil it.
That's true, but it feels like it's building. Now, from this description, you would think this is a very serious and dour film, but it is not. In fact, it's very funny. It's full of laughs and wonderful characterizations. Just like everything else that Billy Wilder's ever done, he always shows like another aspect to the human condition, you know? He's always got a sense of humor about things.
There's a lot of laugh-out-loud moments.
Here.
It's not as dark as Ace in the Hole or Double Indemnity when there's like no levity at all and it's just a really dark movie. This does have levity to it, and mostly in the characters of Animal and his best friend. They're kind of coming around being cards and clowns and stuff, keeping everybody all in good spirits and stuff. But outside of those two characters, I gotta say, it's still a pretty standard war movie.
The story originated with a stage play that was on Broadway, written by two fellows who were actually in a prison camp.
You don't say.
Donald Bevin and Edmund Turkinski.
Edmund! I like my Eds.
Never met him, either.
Of course you haven't.
Well, they were actually in Stalag 17B in Austria. And Billy Wilder saw this play, and he adapted it. His fingerprints are all over this script, but I think so it's definitely based on something real.
Wilder himself having been in his own troubles during the war and having seen some things himself, he got out when he could and came over here and worked. So I'm not surprised that he is... picking a war movie to talk about that is not necessarily about the war, but mostly about the prisoners. And being in a camp and being locked up, that is something he knows well, and I think he handles it very deftly here. I would not be surprised if we saw more films about prisoners of war. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more stories about the prisoners of war that are still there, because from what I understand, we still have prisoners of war.
Speaking of prisoners, do you know where that screwdriver went? I'm going to see if we can open this vent.
Yes, I have been using it as a toothbrush.
We're
in prison!
All right. Yes. Okay, thank you. You guys keep talking. I'm going to see if I can open this vent, so you guys keep going.
Well, I got to say, the mystery, I do think that what could have been a very kind of easygoing movie about prisoners of war, maybe there's an escape, maybe there's not an escape. The mystery about who the rat is certainly a nice propelling element of the story.
Is this too loud? Do you think they'll hear this?
Yes.
I agree. And I think cinematographer Ernest Laszlo does a fantastic job of conveying life in the prison camp. The entire film is shot in the camp. You never get to leave it. And, you know, you really get to know the latrines and the cabins and the muddy central area where the commandant makes his speeches. That commandant is played by Otto Preminger, who is actually Austrian and is a director himself.
Yeah, he was in Sunset Boulevard as well.
And interesting fact, this film was shot sequentially from beginning to end. So, in fact, the actors did not know who the snitch was until they came to that part of the story.
I did hear about that, and I do think it's. I don't know if it helps the film at all, really. I gotta be honest. You kind of find out, when you find out who it is, it's only a very small amount of time that everybody else gets a chance to enjoy that moment. So, I don't know if it necessarily needed to be done. But it's still a good execution. I'm going to be honest. Somebody ruined this movie and its ending for me before I even got a chance to see it. So it kind of lost that effect on me. I can't really talk about it on those terms. But I also
don't
think...
Give me the name. I want the name.
I won't tell you who ratted it. I won't rat on that guy. Unless you got 50 bucks and we'll take my tie.
You can also help me with this vent.
I would like the tie first.
Yeah, I think it's a very well-constructed picture, very tight, wonderful actors, very memorable characters, and fantastic dialogue, and I think it's a must-see.
You really can't go wrong.
For me, it's a 5-butter picture.
Five out of five. I'm going to go ahead and say 4.5 out of 5. I'm going to say the only reason it does not do so hotly with me... I feel like it's a little stagey. I feel like there's not as much with the camera that I've seen Billy do before. And Billy's not really the most showy guy with a camera. I agree. When you see the moment where William Holden is starting to investigate and starting to put the pieces together about what's going on, yeah, it's nice. But ultimately, it's mostly just the camera sits there while people do their thing. I kind of wish he was doing a little bit more with it. But something tells me, a cinescope comes...
Wilder's made a point of saying that he doesn't like to do much camera trickery.
Yes, I do. I do understand that, which is why I don't think Wilder's going to be the kind of person who's going to jump into the cinescope. I think he's going to be making black and whites well into the 60s. However, again, guarantee you the moment when he actually does start doing color and widescreen stuff, when he letterboxes his stuff, he's not going to be able to help it. He's not going to be able to help it.
I got it. It's open.
Oh, great. Sweet.
Edgar, what's your waistline?
What's my waistline? How dare you? Oh. Hey!
Try squeezing through that thing.
All right, let me just suck it in here real quick. All right, here we go.
It's about a...
Oh, wow.
It's about a 2-foot wide...
Your head's stuck?
You need help pulling it out.
I have my doubts as to whether Edgar could fit in that space.
I don't know. I think he passed out. I think he hit his head.
Are his feet just dangling out the back of that vent?
Yeah. I'll push him in farther. Here.
Thank you for listening, folks. We'll be right back on the Real Butter Radio Hour with Dad's infamous You Bet Your Butter quizzes. And cut.
I don't think his ankle's supposed to be twisted like this. I'll just twist it again.
Yeah.
That didn't sound good.
Hello, my name is Hubert Bernard. I am a great pickpocketer, and I am here to tell you all about my pickpocketing school. I'm going to tell you all the secrets of the trade of pickpocketing, and live on the air, I'm going to pickpocket someone. You're going to hear it, and I'm going to tell you what's in their wallet and everything that's inside once I pickpocket it. Here I go. Are you ready? I'm going to be very, very sneaky. It's a pickpocket. Here I go.
Hey, what the hell are you doing? Oh, get off me!
I'm sorry.
You got this mic on me? What are you doing? Give my wallet back. What are you doing?
Sorry.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Don't touch me. I'm sorry.
No, you're free.
Wow.
Oh, you want to go?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you're saying?
Let's do it right now.
If you calm down,
no, you calm down. Don't touch me.
Oh,
don't
boy.
Touch me.
Yeah.
Like when I touch you. Like when I touch you. Like that? Yes, Jim, you're right, you prick. Don't touch me. Touching people's gross, especially when they don't know you. Give me my wallet, you. Stay on the ground.
Butter Radio Hour, brought to you today by Noir Cola. In golf and tennis clubs, around swimming pools, in locker rooms and baseball parks, wherever people are active this summer, everybody's talking about the invigorating stimulation of Noir Cola. Your life will never be the same. Noir Cola, drink it now.
And we're back on the Real Butter Radio Hour. Just to update everyone listening, managed to push Edgar through the vent using butter.
It hurt.
And he's on the other side of the wall. I don't know if you're able to unlock the door. So
nope, you locked it. I locked it from your side. I'm on the other side.
Oh, really? Hang on. Wait.
No, don't do it. The pirates will get in.
Oh, true. So Thad has a You Bet Your Butter quiz. Is that correct, Thad?
Oh, is that now? Yeah. Welcome back to You Bet Your Butter.
And this week we're going to talk about having lots of quizzes. Probably going to have lots and lots of callers.
I'm not working a phone, so I got to do that.
What'd you say?
I'm not working a phone, so I got to do that.
Well, come back in and work the phones.
I can't squeeze in, but I know better.
Okay, well, can you unlock the...
It's locked on your side. That we locked the outside. People can't get in. That was the whole point.
Okay, well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go sneak in and I'm going to infiltrate them. You do the quiz.
Okay.
I'm going to be a spy. I'm going to take some stuff from pirates.
Well, we'll have some callers, I assume. We have some people. I don't really do the phones that often, but let's see. The light's blinking. Hello? Is anyone over there?
Hello? It's me!
Hello.
No.
I'm back to the quiz again.
You are? Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're always happy to have you.
Thanks. It's very nice of you to say to such an old woman.
Of course. We're always happy to have you on. You bring the spirits up.
Well, I try to keep my spirits high. You see, I'm in South America, and I'm with the tribe right now. We're collecting coca leaves, and we're selling them in the black market.
How are you calling?
Well, I'm using a phone.
Right. I assumed so, but are you at a park?
I can't say for federal reasons.
Oh. Well, I mean, are we taking too much of your time?
No. Okay. They're chopping the leaves down from the trees currently, and I'm just sitting here in the car like a nice little old woman.
This is Hubert Theater.
And I'm Thaddeus Theater, and you're listening to You Bet Your Butter.
I don't know if you've been listening in until now, but...
Sure.
We've been overrun by our employees. I appreciate that. You don't need to. Edgar was supposed to, I guess, infiltrate. I just thought he was gonna unlock the door.
He was butts outside the studio.
Yeah, I thought he was just gonna let me out.
Oh, that fat smoking man.
He told me to leave the door locked. So, Edgar, are you on the are you still on the other end?
Shut up, I'm trying to be a super employee. Oh god, they see me. Thank you. Thank you so much.
They see you?
They see me.
Run!
They're coming for me, I gotta help.
Now we just need a second player here.
Hello, Edgar!
Oh, did they capture you, Edgar?
No, I hit him, they found me again. I should have said that.
Oh, how you doing? I think he's captured. I'm hearing some rustling. He definitely got caught.
Do we have a second player? Are you going to play Hubert, or how's this going?
I guess I can play it.
Oh, yeah.
We have an assortment of wonderful prizes. So.
All right. Is any of that 20 bucks that I can win back? All right,
so today we're
going
to play it a little bit differently. We're going to play Guess That Song. So you're going to ask me...
Hey, Thad? Someone's pounding on the door here.
That's right.
They got dogs.
I've got your partner, Edgar. And if you want him, you're going to have to give us what you got. The theater.
We're not going to give you the theater. Do you want... What do you
want? I've got a dog out there now.
I can hear it.
He's not happy with
it. Sounds menacing.
With the way that you've treated us, he's not happy.
Well, how many of you are out there? All of you?
All of the other ones you made dressed like a pirate.
Right.
Yar.
Yes,
y'all. Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, we can offer...
What is it you want?
Well, I want the theater. I want this whole place to be ours. And we'll sail the seven seas in one place.
Sorry.
No, you can just keep Edgar.
I don't want to not be Captain Hook anymore. This is now my life, and I choose not to give it up.
Sorry, what was your name? Jerry Yar? Your name is Yar?
No, it's Jerry Yar.
Jerry Yar?
Yar.
Okay, Jerry Yar.
No, Jerry.
Jerry?
Jerry.
Yar. No, Jerry.
Well,
Oh my god.
I can't give you the theater. You holding my brother up for ransom trade is not gonna work. It's...
Hey, I'm still here!
Yeah, Edgar, just stay calm. They're not gonna hurt you.
I don't know about that. These swords are pointy.
Well, that was your fault.
Oh, great! I just, I'm saying I'm still in half.
Just don't get stabbed.
I'm trying!
Well,
Have you considered calling the police?
You're if you call the police, then I'll kill your friend.
What do you want? Do you want a raise? Do you want health benefits? I can't
offer a raise or a health benefit. And I mean, these gentlemen don't want, they want to, they're like me, they want to be pirates now.
Right.
Hey, I also work here, Pete.
Yeah, okay.
I'll dress like a pirate, but I'm usually just sweep up.
Yeah, you want to sweep up the lobby with...
Were you offering raises and benefits?
Of course, we were going to offer that anyway.
So you saying right now, if we stop this here mutiny, we just dressing like pirates.
Just take off the pirate costume and get back to work.
We'll get raises and help benefits.
Of course.
All right, we're going to do that then. Sorry, Mr. Jerry.
Oh, no!
Jerry, snap out of it. Take the hat off.
My family.
Give me that sword. I'm going to kill someone with this.
I cut my hand off.
Yeah, I know you did. Give me that hook, too.
I paid for that hook.
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, the fault is you're taking it.
You know, we're going to replace this hook with a...
What could you possibly replace this hook with to be appropriate for a janitor?
This mop.
A mop?
Yeah, we're just going to screw this
what?
Mop. We're just going to screw this into your stump.
Oh, ow.
All right.
Oh, that's still there, you know.
Try it out.
It's dry.
All right, get it wet.
All right, well, I guess I'm just gonna
get
right here and pour some water on this here while I'm doing it.
Hey, look at that. Working like a charm. Working like a charm.
That's fantastic.
Mop the floor here.
Put him to work.
All right, Jerry, just so you know, you are not gonna get a raise.
Really? So I have to stop talking like a pirate, dress another pirate, and mop on my hand, and I don't get a raise.
Yeah, you're trying to kill me. It's the least thing.
Okay, well,
would you rather be in jail?
No.
Would you rather me call the police?
No.
You're not going to get a raise.
Okay.
In the next 6 months. Maybe 7, you'll get a raise.
Well, folks, time is up. Thank you for joining us on the Real Butter Radio Hour yet again.
Mom really hurts my hand.
Grandma, I don't know if you're still on the other end there.
Hello!
Yeah, sorry about that. Codename Grandma.
Oh, that's okay. I thought they found our stash and they're going down. There's guns firing all over the It's like a big old action film. Oh my! Oh, that thing's on fire! Grandma's getting out of here, baby! Grandma's on the road!
Well, sorry about that, Thad. Looks like we'll have to do the You Bet Your Butter in the next one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I'll be coming home soon anyway, so maybe I'll be able to do it in person.
That's really unfortunate.
Hey, are you guys coming up?
Oh, yeah. Let me unlock the door here.
All right, folks. It's so nice to be back in here.
Thanks for tuning in. Did you just like it from the outside?
What? Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right, back to chess.
Here, I got the pieces.
Here we go.
I get next game.
Okay. That was a pirate mutiny.
This is an employee mutiny of people dressed like pirates.
Theo, why didn't Dad ever tell us about that?
Well, he didn't really like to talk about the past. Or, in fact, Edgar. I don't think we knew that Edgar existed.
That involved Edgar is for that time.
But a pirate mutiny.
I'm sure it happened.
They had him at Sword Point?
Mm-hmm.
Sword Point.
Well,
that's amazing.
He didn't like pirate.
Yeah, we should have a pirate mutiny.
No, we should not.
No, you shouldn't. No.
Everyone here gets health insurance, right?
You know what happened the last time we weren't here?
What happened?
He had to do everything. Yeah, Puppy doesn't. But you don't want to.
I know what I'm doing.
No, I know you know what you're doing, but you don't want to meet me because you don't like to do everything, correct?
Okay.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Fine. Yeah, whatever.
Guys, stop the mutiny right there.
Oh, yeah, that was really scary.
Up top.
Air. Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Oh, That was pretty good. Yeah, just don't back up any farther, please.
Well, you put these Poppy's Awards everywhere.
Yeah, man.
I've got like a...
I had them all...
It's a 3-foot radius I'm working
with.
Yes,
it's disorganized, but there's organization to it. You know what I'm saying?
If I make one step, I'm going to fall and land on one of these.
Okay, well, don't. Just don't move. I'll clear a path for you.
All right, fine. I'm going to stay right here in one spot.
Okay, great.
Ow! Ow! What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Okay, just don't move.
Ow!
Stop!
I'm laying on my pussy!
Okay, you're crushing all 40 of them.
Oh, there's more!
All at once!
I'm sorry!
Alex! Stop moving!
I'm sorry!
Are you okay?
Not the Poppy Awards! You crushed them all!
I mean, I think
do it again!
For the Poppy Awards by now.
Do it again!
Alright, I'm trying to get up slowly.
Okay, well, you know what? It doesn't even matter if you crush more.
It's like fast traps everywhere. It's like Poppy Awards.
Okay, well, you guys asked me to make them. I make them, and then you tell me that it's over and
we
done with.
We asked you to make them and send them on time, or well past that point. Plus, there's return of the address on it. This
yeah. Well, I don't know Christopher Nolan's address. How am I supposed to know his address? No one told me his address.
Ow.
So I just Googled it and found, you know, something close. But just
no,
send
they're
it
not going to have his address on Google. They ain't like to go there. It's Christopher Nolan's Poppy Awards. Whoa.
Man, you're not good at enunciating this. Just stop moving.
I stopped. Ouch.
Well, I guess Peter Pan's a cool movie. I don't know, man.
Lot of racism.
Lots of racism.
The Native American. South Street, a lot of women.
Yeah, that part definitely did not age well.
No, there's a, you know, you'll get that a lot in older movies. Maybe if it was muted and you took out a half an hour of, okay, Alex, okay.
And there's a lot of misogyny in Pick Up on South Street.
They do show kind of a window on the times, but yeah.
God, Karen's dog is loud.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll pick it up.
She's coming, you know.
The pirates.
I'm pretty excited about next week's episode.
Yeah,
definitely can watch the movies for that.
Yeah, what is that one?
We're gonna have the Real Butter Valentine's Day special.
Lovey dovey.
It's gonna be Real Butter style.
I don't know what that means.
Just do it again.
Good night, Peter.
Yeah, good night, Theo.
Good night, Alex. Good night, Mappo.
Goodbye.
Mappo, you've been here the whole time?
I've been here since 1953.
Oh, my God, that's right.